Get ready to be transformed, inspired, and supremely blessed as you listen to the Word of God from Pastor AB. Prepare your hearts. You'd never remain the same again. God bless you as you listen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
All right, so good morning, everybody. Welcome to church. The Bible says when we gather together. Oh, you're telling me welcome to church. Thank you. Thank you. The Bible says when we gather together, we live better.
Yes.
We become better. And so expect to be better today. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Isn't it amazing? People come to church knowing that God is here. But they're not expecting things to change. If we're going through a terrible time, the fact that God is here means by the time you leave this place, things should have changed.
Yes.
You should have gotten the word you're looking for, or something would have changed in you. So whatever the challenge is, by the time you leave this place, you know what to do. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. So if things are bad when you come to church, they should become good. If things are good, nothing is bad. By the time you leave church, things should be what? Better. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
All right, so this is a good time to tell you to put your phone on silent. Bring out your Bible and your notes. Ensure your phone is on silent. Because I heard one sound. If I hear it again, you come and preach with me. I can't wait for that to happen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. You'll be like the interpreter, but you'll shout. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Remember, there was once we used to go to preach. I think, was it Ekpe? We went to preach, and I had an interpreter. And I would say something short, but the interpretation would be long. So I want to continue, but he's still talking. And I had to think, hope he's saying what he should be saying. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
All right. Are you ready now?
Yes.
It's a year of laughter. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And it's a new month. So happy new month. Someone said the word for the month last week. It's you. Is that what you said? Well, September is a month of soul winning. Yeah, Ezine said it. And I thought, oh my goodness. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Soul winning. Every Christian should be involved in winning souls. Because that's the only thing that you carry from this place to heaven. The souls that you have won. You see them there. You know, if you buy a very nice shoe, you're not taking it from this place. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
Once you leave this world, the shoe remain here for your son or your friend. If you get a very nice car, even if the day you're going, you hold the key like this. And you tell them, put me inside like this. When you appear in heaven, you won't see it there. I remember a story I heard from a Ghanaian preacher. She said, this woman got married to a very stingy man. He was a rich man, but stingy. What an irony. But very stingy. And so he told her something. They were talking one day. And, you know, he's a kind of boss husband. So he told her, look, when I die, I want you to sell everything I have and put the money in the coffin and bury me with it. He said, is that what you want? He said, yes. She said, okay, no problem. And so he died. And she went and sold everything they had. What a good woman, right? Very submissive. And her friend found out, you know, there was nothing in the house. She had sold everything. She said, why did you sell everything? She said, my husband said I should sell everything. Friend was upset. So why would you do that? Why? He said, I have to do what my husband says I should do. And so the day they were going to put him in the casket, finally, I'm going to cover it. She came. She told the pallbearers, just wait. I want to fulfill my husband's wish. So she came, she took an envelope. You're all listening to me. Because you know there must be something about this story. Okay, she took an envelope and she put it in his casket and said, you can bury him now. So our friend said, what's in that envelope? She said, well, I sold everything he had. It became cash. I put it in the bank and I wrote him a check. When he gets to heaven, he should cash it there. What is she trying to prove? When you leave this world, you're not taking anything with you. Nothing. Except the souls you want, because you will see them there. Are you seeing it? So Paul said, they are your crown. Those are the people you see there. That man, while you were going somewhere, you met him in the bus, and you talked to him. He got born again. And you didn't even remember to take his phone number. And now time has gone. You're going to see him in heaven. You see him there. And so if that is the only thing that would last, and you take with you to heaven, I think you should take it seriously. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
You should take it seriously. And anybody can win souls. It's not hard. So we'll go into that as the month continues. But let's go into the message for today. Are you ready?
Yes, Pastor.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
All right. One of the most popular verses in Scripture is, who knows? John 3, verse 16. I think the grace is more popular. But most people don't know the exact verse. So John 3, verse 16. Let's quote it together. One to go.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish.
Stop. He says, whosoever believeth in him should not what?
Perish.
What does perish mean?
Die.
Right?
Yes, Pastor.
Die. It says, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, should not be affected by death. That means he came as a savior to save men from perishing. Are you seeing it?
Yes, Pastor.
That's why he came. He came to save people. So everybody knows Jesus is the savior. To save men from perishing on this earth, and to save them from perishing eternally, so they don't have to go to hell. That's why he came. He came as a savior. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So anybody who believes in him has escaped from perishing. Are you seeing it? No, you have to believe the word of God. It is not just something we say because it sounds nice. God was serious. Jesus was the one who said that. And he was serious because he was the one who was going to die. He was serious. He says, whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Have I believed in him? Yes. That means I should not perish. Okay. But on this earth, what are the things that make people perish? Number one, pollution. Right? Pollution. Water pollution. And so when they drink bad water, they get sick and they die. Are you in this place?
Yes.
Is pollution not a problem? It's a problem. Air pollution. Noise pollution. Can noise pollution kill someone? Maybe not. But pollution is a problem, naturally. But I want to show you something the Word of God says. Go to 2 Peter. 2 Peter. Chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20. If you're there, say I'm there.
I'm there.
If you're not there, say wait for me. Am I waiting for someone? Ensure you're opening a Bible, at least. But if you don't come with one, just pay attention to me. Verse 20. Are you there?
Yes, Pastor.
Should I say I'm there?
I'm there.
All right, 20. I'll read it. He says, for if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse than the beginning. I'll read it again. He says, for if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world, through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So let me stop there. He says, those that know Jesus as their Lord and Savior have done what? Escaped the pollutions of the world. And he's serious. He says, those that know that Jesus is their Savior. Yes. I mean, if he's your Savior, he should save you from the pollutions of the world. And so if you know he's your Savior, he says they have escaped. What does that mean? It means the things that would affect others should not affect them. Are you in this place? Natural pollution and spiritual pollution. They've escaped. Jesus, talking to his disciples and us, he says, you are in the world, but you are not of the world. That means the things that affect the world should not affect you because you're not of the world. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
You're not of the world. There is something about you when you got born again. You received a different kind of life. I'm thinking, you know, there are water-resistant watches. Have you seen them before?
Yes, Pastor.
And then there are watches that are not water-resistant. Now, both kinds of watches could fall into water. But only the water-resistant watch would come out functioning. When you get born again, you're like that water-resistant watch. Though there is pollution in this world, yes, you're in the world, just like the watch is in water, but it cannot touch you. It cannot affect you. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
You've believed Jesus as your Savior. That is one of the things he has saved you from. Not just hell. If there are thieves in your street, they should not come to your house. He says, you have escaped from the pollutions of this world. Go to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. Verse 4. Oh, hallelujah. Verse 4. Galatians. Is after 2 Corinthians. If you're there, say I'm there.
I'm there.
If you're not there, say wait for me. Is that favor?
Yes.
If you're there, say I'm there.
I'm there.
I read it. He says, who gave himself for our sins? That he might. So he's telling us why he gave himself for your sin. He says, who gave himself for our sins? That he might deliver us from this present evil world. So God, that means the world is evil. But this is why he gave himself for our sins. He didn't say, are you in this place?
Yes.
He didn't say who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from hell, even though that is important. But when you get born again, you're not living this world. You're still here. But the effects of the world, the wickedness of the world, he says he gave himself for your sins to deliver you from it. Let me explain what that means. The Bible says, because of Adam's disobedience, sin came into the world. And death through sin. Every form of evil in this world has a purpose to cause men to die. Are you in this place? Every form of evil has a purpose. So the guy is a kidnapper. He's a murderer. What's his goal? To kill people. The woman is a witch. What's the goal? To kill people. But he says, death came because of sin. So everybody that is identified with sin will be affected by death one way or the other. It could be accidents. It could be through the kidnapper. It could be through the murderer. It could be through the thief. It could be through poison. As long as they are associated with sin, death is their portion. So the Bible says he came and gave himself for your sin. So he will deliver you from this present evil world. So even if everybody has been affected by death because they associated, because they have sinned, for you, Someone came and gave himself for your sins. So death has no hold on you. That's what he's saying here. That he might deliver us from this present evil world. What an evil world. Think about it. Two people will get up in the morning and they are planning to kidnap the people in a bus. Is that not an evil world? So one is the driver, the other is the conductor. And they are shouting, one chance, one chance. And I have that Christian brother who just closed from church. And he's going and he's hearing, one chance, one chance. And then he enters the bus and he sits down, not knowing that is an evil bus with an evil driver, an evil conductor. But if he knows that he has been delivered from this present evil world, one of two things would have to happen. I've told you before. The first one, he will argue with the conductor and come down from the bus. Or he will sit down, you know that last place, that last seat in the bus, and he will feel uncomfortable. He will say, there's no foam on this chair. All the passengers will say, what is it? Oh, yeah, go and buy a car. Sit down, Joe, let us go. He says, no, I can't sit on this chair. It's too hard. He says, you that you're slim like this. He says, no. Then he will come down. He has been delivered. The second thing that would happen, he will be in the bus. Oh, God needs a champion there. He will be in the bus. When the guy says, all right, brings out the knife, he will blast tongues. The guy has the weapons of man. He has the weapons of God. And remember, he's a child of God. When he entered that bus, the angels were with him. So he starts speaking in tongues. And as he's speaking in tongues, at times you get words of prophecy. Now he's speaking in tongues. Instead of crying, he says, I'm the one in charge. And of course, you know what happens. The devil will say, take that man away. Why? He has an evil spirit. Yes. The spirit of God is evil to evil. So that's good. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
All right. Go to 2 Peter again. Chapter 1. These are just basic things. When you become a Christian, you should be aware of. It goes beyond just going to church every day. These are realities you should live by. You know, when I became a Christian, a serious one, I was on a level then. I was talking with my friends. And I always had this thought. I said, you know, if you're associated with God, there should be something different about you. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
I mean, I just couldn't, you know, I couldn't understand. Maybe because I didn't grow up in a religious home, okay? But I knew it was more than what was physical, what anybody can imitate. So the guy is not a Christian, but he goes to church. When it's time for worship, he just likes Frank Edwards songs. But he's not a Christian. You can imitate that. But there has to be something about being born again that the unbeliever cannot imitate. This is one of it. You cannot use mental prowess to come out of a situation with thieves. You need to be conscious of what he has done. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Do you know he was pierced for you?
Yes.
On that cross?
Yes.
He was pierced for you. Let me say it. He was pierced for you.
Pierced.
No. I said I will say it. So you hear it very well. What does that mean? It means nobody should pierce you ever again. Someone was pierced for you. What does that mean? Nothing. You should not fear knives. No knife can hurt you. He was pierced for you. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
If it was pierced for you, you should not be pierced for yourself. That's cheating. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
If I pay for your food for you, you should not go and pay again. That's cheating. So these are the things. When you become a Christian, listen, I'm telling you, the basic Christian, when I mean basic, I mean the person who just knows he's born again, he believes in Jesus, he should not perish. This should be his reality. As a fact, All right, Second Peter, are you there?
Yes, Pastor.
All right. Chapter 1, verse 4. Someone says, I want to come to church and hear that God will make me prosperous. Yeah. But you don't want thieves to come and take what he's giving you. Are you in this list?
Yes, Pastor.
No, you've been meaning to furnish your house. You finally got 3 million naira. You bought everything. And that night, thieves came. You need this message. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
You need this message. When they came for Jesus in John 18, with weapons, what did he say? Whom seek ye? Who are you looking for? So if that happened to Jesus, it might happen to you. But your response should be like Jesus' response. All right, verse 4. If you're there, say, I'm there.
I'm there.
Verse 4, it says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be what? Partakers of the divine nature, having escaped. See that word again. Did you notice it the last time?
Yes.
Escaped. Means it's happening to everybody, but you have escaped. It says, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. He's not talking about bribery and corruption alone. He's talking about the decay. The decay that is in the world through lust. So now he's explaining to us why there is pollution. Are you seeing it?
Yes.
Why there is decay. Why there is sickness. He says it is through lust. And that is not surprising. Bible says death came into the world because of sin. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
Why has the lifespan of man reduced over the years? After all, when Adam sinned, he still lived. The forefather of sin lived for above 900 years. So why are the great-great-grandchildren of sin dying at 50, at 60, at 70? It's spiritual. Sin over the years have become more accessible and acceptable. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
Some things, they are sin, but they have a different name. They are now accessible, acceptable. For example, you have those who are involved in online fraud. They want to make it acceptable. You know what I mean?
Yes.
That's sin. God doesn't like a cheat. Now, here's the thing. Why has the lifespan reduced? Simple. The more accessible and acceptable sin is, the more accessible and acceptable death will be. Because death moves with sin. So when sin becomes easy, death becomes easy. When sin becomes accepted, then people will accept, I have cancer, I have just 3 days to die. He would accept it. Haven't you seen people like that? They accept it. So I'm preparing to die. And he will die. He says the corruption that is in the world through lust, but you have escaped. It is not your story. It's not for you. It's not for you. So God knows that there is corruption in the world through sin. God knows people's sin. But Jesus is the Savior. And as a Christian, if he's your Savior, the Bible says, go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter 1. You move mountains. You cause wars to fall with your power. You perform miracles. There is nothing that's impossible. I'm standing here. Amen. That song can become more deep. Jesus is the way.
Yes.
and we're standing here because of him. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. If he's your Savior, I'm saying, then he has saved you from every form of perishing in this earth. Someone can get offended by that. I don't know why. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And say, no, no, don't water down the gospel. Talk about hell. Well, yes, he has saved you from hell. He went to hell for you, so you will not have to go. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Bible says, it is appointed unto man once to die. And after that, what? The judgment. If one man died for you, the ones you're supposed to die, he died for you and went to hell. That means you have no business with hell again. But you have to accept it. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
You have to accept it. It's not enough for him to do something for you. You have to accept that he did it for you. Let me give you an example. If you have... Are you listening to me?
Yes, Pastor.
If you have a twin brother, I've said it many times, but I'll say it again. And both of you wrote jam, and you wrote once and passed. But your twin brother, identical twin. The only difference is that he has one mark in the middle of his head. And only your mother knows. But you're identical twins, all right? And both of you wrote jump, and you wrote in one sitting, and you passed. You got 290. And he wrote and got 4. That was very bad. The next year, he wrote again. Next year, he wrote again. And again, and again. Now, 8 years, he's still writing jump. And you already have a family. All right. But let's say you're still identical. And then you say, you know what, bro? I want to write for you. Or let's say you go and write for him. All right? I mean, you have the same face, everything. So you write for him. And miracles of miracles, he gets 272. You get 272. And then you bring the result to him. Even if you got 272 in his name, he still has to accept it. Are you in this place?
Yes.
He still has to say, oh, you did this for me. Thank you. If he doesn't accept it, even if you did it for him, he will not go to school. He has to accept what you have done. So Jesus went to hell. It's true. But people have to accept it. Are you in this place?
Yes,
he has saved all men from perishing. Oh, it's true. But people have to accept it. Now, look at this. I said 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. So if he's your Savior, now, you know, on the earth, are you listening to me?
Yes,
Jesus was called the Messiah, the Christ, the chosen one. And even while he walked on the earth, he was still a Savior. He saved them many times. Saved them from hunger. One day he called his disciples, there were 4,000 people. He said, these people have been with me for 3 days. He said, if you don't give them something to eat, they will faint as they are going. If Jesus said you will faint, you will faint. He said, if you don't give them something to eat as they are going, they will faint on the way. So he saved them from fainting. One day he was in the boat. You know that boat.
Yes.
And he saved it from sinking. Peter, a fisherman all his life, in Luke 5, Jesus saved him from stress. Jesus said, all right, cast your nets in the sea. And he did. And the Bible says they caught so many fishes. Think about it. In less than 1 hour, they caught so many fishes, they had to get a second boat to put the fishes inside. The Bible says the net broke, then the boat began to sink. That is some heavy fish.
Yes.
In less than an hour. So he saved them from stress. That's why when one day he was now saying things like he will go to Jerusalem, they will kill him, they will bury him, but in 3 days he will rise. Peter could not believe it. Peter could not accept it. This man gave him fish. This man saved him from accidents. This man brought money out of a fish's mouth. He doesn't need to work in CBN. He can create his own money. Now this man says he wants to die. No way. Bible says Peter took him aside and rebuked him. He said, not so, Lord. This will not happen to you. Why? He had found his Savior. and he didn't want him to go. But Jesus had a bigger plan. That thing that enabled him, that life that enabled him, feed 5,000, stop the boat from sinking. He wanted Peter to have that life. And that is the life that you have now. That's the life you have. 1 Peter 1. So if he's saving people from accidents while they walked on the earth, he's still saving them today. He's your savior. Chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Oh, hallelujah. All right. Verse 24. If you're there, say, I'm there.
I'm there.
All right, I'll read it. It says, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. If he bare your sins, why are you still bearing those sins? You have Christians who say, I'm struggling with this thing. You know, or some people that don't even, they are not sure if they are Christians anymore. When you know, their Christianity to them is based on their feeling. 3 weeks they prayed, they just loved God. When they heard Sinatra's song, oh, their spirit went up to heaven. I said, are you a Christian? Say, yes, I'm a Christian. I just love God. Now, someone called them on the phone. They were angry that day, and they shouted at the person, insulted the person, cut the call. The call came in again. It was an Aboki man. They were very angry. They insulted the person. Now they feel so bad. Are you a Christian? Say, I don't know. So when you call for those ones to get born again, they will come out again. Have you seen people, or did it happen to you that you got born again 20 times?
Yes, Pastor.
Your mansion in heaven is plenty. 20, and each time you look sad. I'm just wondering what God thought. After the 19th time, while you were going out, God said, it's coming again. It's coming again. But look at it. He says, he bear your sins. No need to struggle with those sins anymore. So people don't know. They can stop. They don't know. But you can. He bear your sins. And he bear your sins. The Bible says, he gave himself for your sins to deliver you from this present evil world. And so you should be conscious of that. You have been delivered. You have. A few months ago, they said there was a virus that shut everything down. Next year, who knows? They might say something is falling from heaven. And it's not a surprise to God. Are you in this place?
Yes,
he already said this present evil world. That means the world is always cooking up schemes to be more evil. To be more evil than the last time. Are you in this place? Where he says you have been what? Delivered. He tore you out. You have escaped it. It's not for you. He wants you to know. That is one of the things Jesus came to do. So if others are being affected, not his child. He has saved you from it. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So see the way he now told you so that you'll be aware. Any way something wants to hurt you, he has already said it is impossible. He said, if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. So poison has been what? Disarmed. He says, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. That means contagious disease has been what? Disarmed. He says they shall pick up serpents. So even if it's a cat that comes into your room, he already placed evil animals, disarmed. He says they shall cast out devils. So the devil in that government authority that wants to terrorize you, he says you do what? Cast it out. Look at you. I mean, you're walking in this world, but you're not like others. You're not like others. You're different. You're different. You know, at times I'm driving, maybe on a bridge, while you're driving, you're hearing go, 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 and then maybe there is a big truck in front of me, all right? Maybe carrying fuel or whatever, and you all know what can happen. When I'm driving, I go, I'm the one in charge. And I believe it. Are you in this place? If I'm the one in charge, no accidents. No accidents. Someone says, how can you, out of everybody on that bridge? No, God is just looking for the person that will take the authority. Once you're ready, he's ready with you. Didn't you hear about Goliath? And Saul was king, taller than everybody. Goliath was a soldier, a giant. If the enemy brought their giants, you would think Israel would bring their own giants. And he was the king. Are you in this place?
Yes,
he was the king. He was taller than everybody. Saul went to hide. He was not even in the battlefield. He didn't want to die. And Goliath was insulting God. You see, God is not deaf. He was insulting God. I'm sure one angel should have said, Master, should we go and get him? I said, leave them. See my people. The ones that should defend me, they are hiding. Until one boy called David came in and he heard Goliath insulting God. And all the while, God was just like this. Then David comes and says, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Hey! God just heard something. Someone was going to stand up for him. Then David said, take me to the king. I'm wondering, what do you think God was doing when David said, take me? Finally. All the angels were now ready. And the Bible says David picked up one stone. And I told you, it's not about the stone. It's not about the stone. I thought even if he ran towards Goliath, his head, he would have turned him. Because God had been waiting to deal with this guy. He just wanted somebody to take the authority. So if you're that boss and you're sitting down there and say, there must be a pastor in this road. While the break is facing, there must be a pastor in this road. And there is no pastor. He will welcome you to heaven. Oh no, there's nobody that goes to heaven and God says, No. The Bible says, are you with me?
Yes.
The Bible says in the book of Acts that Herod took James, the brother of John. Now, if you're familiar with your Bible, Jesus had 12 disciples, then he had 3. So where those other 9 stopped, the 3 followed him. So he was going to raise Jairus' daughter, he took the 3. He was going up to the mountain to pray, he took the 3. In that Garden of Gethsemane, all the other 8 followed him. Then he took the 3 further, Peter, James, and John. So these are super apostles. You have apostles, you have what? Super apostles. Now, Herod captures James. If you heard one of the super apostles has been captured, would you be concerned? No. So Herod doesn't know what has happened to him. James, no wahala. And then you heard Herod has beheaded him, killed him. Say, he'll resurrect. He'll resurrect. If Jesus resurrected, he'll resurrect. After some days, nothing happens. James is dead. They couldn't believe it. While they are still in shock, the Bible says Herod saw that the Jews were pleased. He took Peter. They say, he took James. We didn't say anything. Now Peter, they started praying. The Bible says Herod kept soldiers as a vigil to watch over Peter. They too, they said they will pray nonstop. If soldiers can be watching over Peter, they can be praying nonstop. But I'm trying to tell you that God is not upset when someone leaves this world. When James came, Jesus said, yeah, go back. We need you there. He didn't say that. When they captured Peter, the church was praying for Peter. Vigil upon vigil. When the angel came, you know what Peter was doing? Peter was sleeping. He was not expecting. Peter had already said, it's my time to go. Remember last week, we learned that Jesus already told him how he would die. He said, they will carry you to where you don't want to. So he thought, this is the place. So he was sleeping. When the angel took him from the prison into the streets and disappeared, after some time, Peter said, oh, this is real. He thought it was a vision. And God would not have been angry. So my point is, if you're on that road and the brake is failing, you say there must be a pastor in this place. There must be a pastor. until somebody takes the authority and say, I'm the one in charge here. So no accidents. There might be an accident. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Even if you have been delivered from the corruption that is in the world, the Bible says, my people are destroyed. Not by accident. Not by poison. For the lack of knowledge. But when you know that this should not affect you, you'll be unstoppable. All right. So we've learned that Jesus is your Savior. Say, Jesus is my Savior.
Jesus is my Savior.
Yes, He has saved you. But then He doesn't want to stop there. He wants to be your Lord. And if you're a Christian, then you would have confessed that Jesus is Lord of my life. What does Lord mean? It's not love. Lord. It means master. Jesus is now my master. You carry the banner for Jesus. He is my master. If Jesus is your master, that's good news. David said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. That means nothing is too good for you. Imagine you have a master that can give you anything. Not just that. You have a master, and so nothing can touch you. Let's look at that Psalm 23. I remember when I was in nursery school. Someone says, how do you remember when you were in nursery? I'm telling you, I do. And we had to, after assembly, quote Psalm 23. I kid you not, I was just chewing mouth. Where I stopped was, the Lord is my shepherd. Every other thing. And today there are some people that still don't know it. So you are laughing. Because you don't want me to expose you. Verse 1, are you there?
Yes, Pastor.
No, I'm saying Jesus is the Lord of your life. That's a good thing. Because there are eternal benefits associated to it, or associated with it. He says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Some people say, God will give you what you need, but not what you want. Where did they get that from? He says, I shall not want. Not just, I shall not need. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
If God will give you what you need, not what you want, is he broke? It's parents that do that kind of thing. Because they are managing their money. But he's not. If he is your Lord and your chief shepherd, nothing is too good for you. Nothing. Verse 2. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. What's that? Provision. I mean, you will lie down. He didn't say he maketh me to walk in green pastures. I'm walking, but this is green. No, he says you will lie down. Provision with ease. Oh, Jesus is the Lord of my life. Provision with ease. Green pastures. Where others are seeing brown or sand, you are lying down in green pastures. You turn like this is green. You turn like that is green. Oh, can't you think about it? In a nation, every nation, even the nation they say is the poorest in the world, there are people that are still making money there. Now he says, the Lord is your shepherd. Let's finish this. He leadeth me beside still waters. That means peace. Not rough waters. Hey, we're about to sink. No. Still waters. Peace. He restored my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. So when he becomes my Lord, he only leads me to do the right things. No, this is not a wicked master. He's a good God. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Not in the path of wrong. Verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, if you are on that bridge, and they say the brake has fallen, this is the shadow of death. Death is about to come. You're in the car. He says, I will fear no evil. I'm in charge. Says, do I walk through the valley of shadow of death? I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. That's why I said when the guy enters the bus, God did not tell him to calm down. But remember, the angels of God are there. Yeah. And you know, it's not, angels are good though. They are good. But the Holy Ghost is greater than all. No, he told us that himself. He said, greater is he that is in you, and he was talking about himself, than he in the world. If you're in that bus with the Holy Ghost, that is greater than all, then there's no evil to fear. None. Let's finish this. He says, this is the one I like the most. He says, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. What he's saying is, you would have challenges. People who have decided they want to be your enemies. But he says, firstly, he will prepare a table before you in their presence. So while they're looking at you, you'll be enjoying. Because there is nothing that they can do. I mean, you're there enjoying and they're just looking. They're just looking. So when he wants to be Lord of your life, if you have not accepted it, you had better do so with three hands. But if he is Lord of your life, this is your reality. So that's good news. That's great news. Yeah. But it doesn't stop there. I said he's your Savior. He wants to be Lord of your life and he is your Lord. But then he's being Lord of your life means that he becomes master of your life. You can't live your life anyhow. You have an organ now. Yes. You know, you can have an organ in office. In the office. All right? So, all his organs ends at work. He can't tell you where to go to in your free time. Are you in this place? Yes, he can't tell you how to sleep. The boss can, how are you sleeping right now? Are you opening your mouth? Close it. Say, excuse me, sir. All your authority ends at that office. And then, for students, you have an organ in your house, your dad. Are you in this place? So he's boss of the house. So when people leave school and leave home for school, they are now free. But when Jesus becomes Lord of your life, that means everywhere you go, you have a master. A master that is looking out for you, and a master that you must be submissive to. That is what it means to be a Christian. Recognizing that there is someone who is in charge of your life. So you can't make decisions anyhow. You can't talk anyhow. You can't go to different places anyhow. You can't just live your life anyhow. There is someone you should consult with. God cut a covenant with Abraham and his seed. And Abraham begat Isaac. And so the Bible says there was famine in Gerar. And Isaac decided he wanted to go to Egypt. Why? Because the last time there was such a famine, his father went to Egypt. All right? So Isaac decided, I'm going to go to Egypt. As though he was the owner of his life. While he was packing his things and saying, I'm leaving this place, the Bible says God talked to him and said, listen, stay here. This is where you should stay. Why? Because he remembered that this is the seed of Abraham. Here's my point. Isaac could not just go anywhere. Firstly, that's why I said, when he's all of your life, it's a good thing. Because he will give you directions and instructions that would profit you in life. But then you must recognize his lordship. You can't just make decisions because you can. No. You must recognize his lordship in your life. Can you just talk to your parents because you can? No. He said, honor your parents. So even if it's paining you, you have a master. And this is not how he wants you to talk. And so you do what? Keep quiet. He says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. That is what your master has said. And so, you're always where the brethren are. Why? Because you have a master. He has called you unto liberty. But liberty in this new kingdom, and in every kingdom there is a king. And there are principles and rules to live by. And so if you're in this kingdom, then there is a king. Jesus is king. He's the Lord of your life. And then, listen, you must know this. that if I submit myself to Jesus, it is for my own good. It is for my own good. You can't just listen to any song. He now owns your ear. Let me tell you something. He tells you how to think. Do you know?
Yes, Pastor.
The Bible says he gave himself for your sin. That means, for them believer, the sin you're supposed to pay for. And the Bible says the wages of sin is death. That means you should die. We should not see you again. Jesus died for you. So you will live for him. Are you seeing it?
Yes, Pastor.
He died for you. So you will live for him. You are no longer your own. There's a master. And so you're conscious. Someone says, let's go to that place that we used to go to before. And I say, no. No. Yeah, the thing about this, your master, is that he's everywhere. You can't say, oh, yeah, put me inside that alone. So he will not see me. You know who tried that?
Yeah.
Jonah. Even when he now entered the fish's stomach, last, God still knew. He's everywhere. But it's not for you to get scared. Say, I don't know now. He's here, he's looking at me. No. He leads you in the path of righteousness. But then, as a Christian, you have to accept Jesus is Lord of my life. I can't just go anywhere. I can't be found just anywhere. Just like if people are dying, I should not die with them. That's why people are doing the wrong thing. I should not be doing the wrong thing with them. If people are saying the wrong things, I should not be saying the wrong things with them. Why? Because I have a new master. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
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 Now, one of the things this master said when he resurrected, to show you that was the most important thing in his mind. Let me tell you something. When something's on your mind, right in this place, let's say I heard that Okwe bashed my car. Okay? It's not recognizable. Then someone also told me Okwe cooked Indomie for me. And where is Okwe? Okwe is at Surulere. I'm at Yaba. I said, I'm going to meet Okwe. If I go and meet Okwe, what should be the first thing I say? Thank you for the Indomie. Of course not. Because that's not number one on my mind. What's Indomie? What would Indomie do with the car? Would you pour Indomie on the car and come back to life? The first thing that naturally I should say is, what happened to my car? Why? Because that is what is on my mind. While I was in that bus going to meet Okwe, that is what was on my mind. That's my car. While I was talking with the conductor, it's still that car. When Jesus resurrected and met his disciples, the first thing he told them was go and preach. That means on that cross and in hell, that was what was on his mind. That was the first thing he said. He said, go and preach. Go. He said, make disciples of the nations. He said, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. That means you can. You can. It's not something to be, it's not something to be scared about or something to be concerned about. If Jesus said do something, you can do it. If you could not do it, once he said it, he gave you the ability.
Yes.
You can. He says go. If you're living your life for him, then you should do what he wants. He says go and teach all nations. Where does it start? It starts from your room. Your cousin who's not born again, have you talked to him? This is what your master wants. He's not asking for any other thing. Are you in this place? He's not. He's not. He already delivered you from whatever problem you will have in this world. So there's nothing for you to be concerned about anymore. So that he did that so you can focus on what is priority on his mind. Reaching that your brother or your roommate or your neighbor or your colleague at work. At least offer them the opportunity to believe. Let me tell you something. At times you go to preach to people and they might not talk to you well, but don't care. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
As they did not talk to you well, did you grow shorter? No. At times you go and meet someone and the person picks race. As though you're smiling, even you to say, doesn't mean anything. Do you know? Do you know? The Bible says Jesus went to Gadara and saw a man that they had tied with chains before he broke the chains. And he was always shouting day and night, cutting himself with stones. Self-affliction. He'll be the one to cut himself. He'll be the one to shout. And Jesus came and immediately he told those demons in the man, go. And the man became better. Is that not a revival happening? No. Think about it. On that street, there's a madman. And then you go. And you look at the madman and say, all right, you're free. And the man becomes well. What do you think? You think people want to listen to you?
Yes, Pastor.
Right?
Yes,
Pastor. They want to listen to you. So now Jesus did it in front of his disciples. And people saw it. And they ran back to the city. And when the elders of the city came, they told Jesus, please go. No, this is Jesus in real life. Told him, please go. He just worked a miracle. They chased him out of the city. They didn't allow him enter. They said, go. What did Jesus do? So because you can talk to me face to face, Abi. Hey, you've not heard what happened to Elijah. And a greater than Elijah is here. All of you will die. Is that what he did?
No.
He left. The man that he delivered wanted to follow him, said no. He said, go back and tell them. If they will not listen to me, they will listen to you.
Yes.
He didn't want them to die. One day he was going to Samaria. All right, my time is up. But let me finish this. He was going to Samaria, and the people of Samaria said he should not come to their city. He sent his disciples. They came back. They said, we don't want this man in our city. He should not come. They didn't prepare for him. James and John said, Master, should we call fire from heaven and consume all of them? Jesus did not say, small power, you think I'll call fire? Relax. No, he knew they could do it. They knew they could do it. But he said what? Leave them alone. My point is, if you go and preach to someone, they might not treat you well. It's not for you to say, you're rejecting me now. You're rejecting me now on the last day. I'll be looking at you. Why? I'll tell you. No, leave them alone. If they don't listen to you, they'll listen to someone else. If Jesus, who is Jesus himself, thought if they didn't listen to me, they'll listen to someone else, you should think the same way. And after he left, he didn't say, I'm not preaching again. I'm not deliverance. I'm not doing again. They're all ungrateful. Is that what he did?
No.
He still went and what? Delivered people. Say glory.
Glory.
Say Jesus is my Savior.
Jesus is my Savior.
Jesus is Lord of my life.
Jesus is Lord of my life.
Nothing is too good for me.
Jesus is Lord of my life.
And I am submissive to his authority.